Podtacular 425, All the Minds of Forge, from May 29th, 2014. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And this week, we're coming to you for not too much news. A lot of the stuff has kind of calmed down since the big announcement of Halo 5 a couple weeks ago, and we had a couple of big shows since then, but we have an easier show to go for this week. Not as much to talk about, but there's still a couple of things that may be of interest to some people listening. So we'll get to cover some of those today. And we're going to do something a little new, I think, from here on out, since we do have the forums back up, and we're going to have a forum spotlight. So we're going to take a thread from someone that has posted some new topic on the board, and we'll kind of go through some of the replies that some people have written. I think that'll be a nice new addition to kind of highlight the community a little bit, so we'll see how that goes, and we'll see how it plays out. If you guys are listening to this and you haven't signed up for the forums already, you can head on over to podtacular.com/forums and sign up there. It's a cool place to be. We have about 35 people right now already signed up for the forums, and we have quite a few topics going with some pretty good posts so far. I have a few more lined up for whenever we do have more people sign up, but for the time being, we've had some pretty good discussions on here so far.
Yes, and the Halo 4 forum is completely barren. Zero posts.
Yeah, that'll change very soon.
Well, I hope so, but it's still kind of depressing. Every time I see it, I just cry a little bit.
I know, that's like one of the only forums that doesn't have anything in it.
It's like, wah, wah, like the only other one's like the support forum.
Yeah, the staff forum. Yeah, pretty much. It is what it is. So, I guess let's just jump right into the news. Not too much to go on this week, but there is something that's been pretty exciting for a lot of people, and that is the Halo mashup pack for Minecraft. That came out this last week, on Wednesday, May 28th. And the mashup pack is available on the 360, and it will become available on the Xbox One version as well whenever Minecraft gets released next month. So for everyone that was wondering if we're going to get the Halo 4 mashup pack on the Xbox One, don't have to worry anymore. It's going to be there. Some pretty cool things around this mashup pack as well. You have about 40 different skins. You have different kind of environments that have been set up. So you have Blood Gulch, you have Guardian, you have Silent Cartographer, and there's a bunch of little Easter eggs in there as well for you to kind of go and find. There's custom music tracks. I believe they said there was 31 custom... Well, it doesn't exactly sound custom pieces. It sounds more like they just took some of the soundtrack music and put it in there. But there's 31 tracks in there, so when you're going walking around, you have the Halo music to listen to. There's quite a few different blocks that they've kind of handcrafted. All the blocks are the same for the mashup packs. I mean, you have everything that's in all the other versions, but they're textured a little bit differently. The swords are energy swords with different colors. The bow and arrow is a needler, little stuff like that. So it's really cool. If you haven't had to go get it, it's $4 on the Xbox Live Marketplace. So go pick it up if you haven't already, and if you have Minecraft, because it's a lot of fun.
Seems worth it just for the Halo music. While you're playing the game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Seems like custom soundtracks are important during Minecraft, like, because it's so repetitive. I mean, not really repetitive, but, I mean, you want to hear the soundscape, but at the same time, you also want to listen to music or something while you're, like, building.
Right. You know? And there's also, you know how, I don't know how much you know about Minecraft since you don't have it, Brent, but...
Oh, I don't have it at all. I played it in a browser twice, so that's the extent of my Minecraft knowledge. I just know, I mean, it's probably changed a lot since then, but just knock down trees, build stuff, and knock down some more trees and build some more stuff until you can knock down gems or and get it done.
I got what you meant. As far as what's in Minecraft, though, there are music discs, and there's usually 12 of them. So there's music discs lying around the area, and you can go and try to find some of these. One of them is right off the start that you can get as you spawn, and there's a few other ones in some of the build out maps. So there's one in Sandtrap, there's one in Valhalla, there's one in Blood Gulch somewhere, probably one on the Silent Cartographer area, so you can go and try to find those and listen to a couple of them. And it's, I'm not exactly sure what they are. I'm kind of waiting for someone to come out with those as a collection and see if they can analyze it. But it sounds like a mashup of just kind of environment sounds of Minecraft characters in a way, and maybe Flood or some other kind of like scuffling. I'm not exactly sure what they are. It sounds environmental in a way. You know, on the level 343 Guilty Spark, whenever you're watching the video playback?
Yes.
It's almost like taking audio recordings of maybe people walking around in an area like that, although without the commentary and without the dramatic music. So that's kind of what I've deduced so far from the couple that I have found. I'm sure there's someone else out there that's probably already found all the discs and are already analyzing it. And if we manage to run across that, I'll definitely post it in the forums. But it's a pretty cool pack. A lot of people were pretty interested with it, and it's basically Halo meets the Ultimate Forge World kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you want to go and mess around with Halo Minecraft, and if you have Minecraft and you have the $4 to spend, I highly recommend going and getting this pack. It's a lot of fun to mess around with. It's really cool to see some of the designs that they made for this mashup. And you do have the Halo ring. That's there. You do have the planet from Halo 1 that's supposed to be there, and it's basically there throughout the whole time. And it's really, really cool. Lots of random forward structures kind of laying around the map as well.
Oh, yeah. If I ever get Minecraft, I'll have to pick up the pack. Like, this is seriously making me think about possibly getting Minecraft, maybe.
Nice. So definitely check that out. It's well worth it, I think. I had a lot of fun with it. I spent about 2 hours on it yesterday. And we had a little thing that we held right after Wacky Wednesday as well to go and just kind of explore, see what was there. And there's lots of cool little things in there. So moving on, we have the bulletin that we'll dive into. Minecraft was part of that, so we'll go ahead and skip that piece. But Halo Escalation, issue number 6, has been released. Again, haven't quite gotten there yet, so we're not covering it, but we will cover it soon. I think soon after E3, probably either right before RTX or right after RTX, we'll start to cover the comics. Because I have initiation, and I know a lot of people want to hear about the lore stuff, so I'll be reading through the other two Halo books, the last one of the Forerunner Trilogy and the Halo 5 Trilogy, next month. And then I'll get on Halo Initiation, and we'll start to dive into those stories as well. So we will get into those very soon. Sorry we haven't gotten into them yet already. I know there's been a lot of stuff regarding where the story will kind of go for Halo 5, and we will get to those. I promise. Halo Mashup Pack was next. We already covered that. To add to that, though, there is a cool little trailer that they put together. So if you go to the Xbox YouTube channel, they have a Halo Mashup Minecraft Evolved YouTube channel or YouTube video that you can go and watch. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of done in the style of the Halo 1 trailer with kind of how things are laid out. So definitely go check it out. Next up is Forge Idol, which is a forging contest that Beyond Entertainment, our fine friends over there, are holding. They've had some nominations already been put up, and there's 6 2v2 maps that have been selected. There's a voting thread over on the Team Beyond forums that you can go and vote, and their voting is open until tomorrow. So if you're listening to this podcast, it's probably already over, but just in case you happen to download this the day of, you have today to go in and vote for your favorite 2v2 map that some pretty good forgers over there have put together. They've been backed by Astro Gaming, and I'm not exactly sure what the prizes are. They're 2 2013 White Astro A40s. So, pretty nice headsets. They're pretty much the best of the line, the wired headsets. It's not the A50s, which are wireless, it's just the A40s. So if you're looking for a pair of A40s and you're in the 6 nominations, then good luck to you guys. And may the best map win. Because obviously you can't submit any more maps. But well, there you go.
Worst map won, I would be concerned. be worried about their ruling methods.
Well, maybe the worst map doesn't have the asteroid. Maybe the rest of them do.
What is the worst Forge map? Because obviously you couldn't just say blank canvas. That's too obvious.
I don't know what you would.
It's like a couple really... blocks put down.
I have no idea. That's a good question. What would be the worst Forged map?
Now it seems like an interesting contest. Like, make the worst. Just make something people just hate.
Like, how would you judge that, though?
Like, how much do you hate it? It's like the exact opposite of how you judge normal stuff. Like, you normally judge in a contest what you like the best. It's just the inverse. Just which one of these incites my rage and hatred the most?
So it's just... When you critique it, it'd be the one with the most flaws.
Yeah. Well, not even that. I mean, if, like, one map made you angry and you just disliked it more than another, even though another was technically...
There would have to be some set of criteria, though, that would have to be met in order for it to
qualify. Yeah, but it's like Olympic scoring and, like, diving and stuff. Like, there's no real metric for that. They're just choosing numbers, you know, based on national preferences and, you know, basically what they see. But, I mean, there's no real...
But if they're making a contest to... make the worst Forged map,
yeah.
And there has to be some kind of incentive to make a decent enough map. It's hard to qualify that, really. Anyways.
I think you could do it. I think they need to do it immediately. I'm just coming up with stuff. If I were a Forger, I would definitely try to win. Because it would be nice to have some asteroids.
Yeah, definitely. Next up on the bulletin is a little piece that Pete the Duck has put together. We had him on last week for our big Forge show, so shout-outs to Pete. And I believe he's in the live stream right now as well. He went and forged a mammoth, and I think he actually did this a while ago, because I remember seeing this, a little while ago. But he put about 12 hours into forging a mammoth on Forge Island. And he did a pretty decent job. Now, it's definitely not drivable or anything, but it looks very similar to the mammoth that we saw in the campaign as far as the ability to forge things go. Again, a piece of forge art that is way beyond my time and patience. So, good job, Pete. It's quite amazing work. And especially to be dedicated for 12 hours to put something into that is ridiculous. But if you want to see his fine work in greater detail, you can go to his file share and download the map variant for you to check out. Next up is pretty much through the bulletin. It was pretty quick this week. We have the screenshot spotlight, which is King of the Hill. And I remember Receptor said he was making one that was supposed to be up here, possibly submitted for the podcast. I'm not sure if that got up here, because I don't see from the two that are in here any kind of particular reference. So I don't know if he's in the live stream either. But there is quite a few of them. It's a lot of purple and blue for this week. So I'm going to say for mine, We Got Your Back by Z6 Nitro, Crack by Sonic 71, and Overshadow by Meow for Halo, and Blue Chief by Receptor 17.
Blushing by Draxonia, because that effect is really cool, and I assume you can only do it in the hill.
I'm not sure how you kind of generate that effect, because it looks like there's a bunch of different things going on there. I just don't know where or how that effect would be generated.
Well, it seems like it would have to do some with the hill, or else it wouldn't be in the spotlight.
Maybe.
It kind of looks like the hill. There's obviously some sort of film effect going on, but...
Right.
The actual, you know, whatever geometry is causing that effect to bloom like that, it's got to be the hill, right?
I don't know. Yeah, it's... Well, I mean, it's King of the Hill, so it has to have some kind of hill component to it, but... Yeah. I don't know. If Pete's in here, maybe he knows how you get that effect.
The other one I like is Gain the Hill, just because I like the idea of, you know, two dudes with explosive weapons looking around. They're like, yeah, it's my hill. You ain't coming.
No one's going anywhere.
I just want to interject, though, and say that I was thinking about dual wielding in Halo 5, and I've decided that I want it. as I've talked about in the Podtacular forums that are now open. You should go join.
Do we want to make that our topic of the week then?
If you want to, if you don't have another.
Well, you brought it up.
I'm just bringing it up because this screenshot has the remote detonator, the grenade pistol. If you could use those, I would be extremely happy.
So I guess let's talk about that a little bit. Let's make that our forum topic of the week. So we have Haas Sost. He posted a thread on dual wielding, and he posted, do we want to see the return of dual wielding in Halo 5? Why or why not? I personally dream of a Mauler / Bolt Shot combo, and a few people wanted to see a dual wielding Bolt Shot, and I definitely said
no,
banned.
It's a joke, obviously. Nobody really wants a dual wield. Nobody wants a bolt shot, period, in Halo 5. If I don't see a single bolt shot, I will be a happy camper.
Yeah, or they need to drastically change how it functions in the next game if they decide to keep it.
Fully auto, but no charge shot.
Yeah, please no. Yeah, no. Well, if it comes to the point
fully
where...
Fully auto pistol, we don't got one of those yet. That'd be nice.
Well, it would be different if we don't have loadouts. If we just kill that idea straight up front, and we go with same loadouts for everyone across the game, which sounds like it could be a possibility with Halo 5, I don't think it would be a problem. I wouldn't mind picking up something like that, because it's kind of a combination Magnum Mauler, in a sense. So I could possibly see it being a single pickup weapon on the map, but I don't want to see it in the loadout perspective.
The bolt shot needs to be dual-wielded in Halo 5 if it's not a loadout weapon. And we don't even know if they're going to have loadouts in Halo 5. I mean, they probably will. You know, just because you don't, you know, retcon that kind of stuff after you put it in your brand new game, the first game of your new trilogy. But...
Well, they got rid of equipment.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying it... Equipment got replaced. They didn't really get rid of it. I'm just saying you just completely scrap the idea of loadouts, except maybe armor abilities. Like, you can only choose your armor ability. I would enjoy that.
Maybe, but...
You have weapons on the map, like in old Halo, and you just run up. If you want that weapon, you better get to it first. You gotta fight for it. That was part of the fun of going to weapons. You never knew, you know, what's going on there. There could be a fight, you know, somebody's going to run up to the rockets the same time you do, if they're in the center of the map, like they're supposed to be.
True.
It's always fun to, you know, fight for that, and Personal Ordnance took the fight out of it, you know, because you could just, you know, put it anywhere, and then it's right in front of you, you don't have to really do anything. It takes significantly longer to steal Ordnance than it does to pick it up.
True. I think I would be more comfortable with dual-wielding bolt shots if they were... kind of redesigned a little bit from how they exist in Halo 4.
They shoot Nerf balls.
That would be interesting.
And they just bounce off your armor, and it's hilarious. And they use the grunt birthday party sound effect.
Yay! Yeah.
That would be cool. That would be an Easter egg that they should think about for Halo 5. A bolt shot that fires Nerf pellets and goes, yay, every time you shoot it.
Oh, gosh. Maybe the darts or the balls.
Either one. I don't care.
Either one.
It'd be hilarious either way.
I think as far as dual wielding goes for Halo 5, it's one of those things for me, I wouldn't mind if it's in there, and I wouldn't mind if it wasn't. I know a lot of people kind of harken back to dual wielding was in Halo 2 and Halo 3, which were arguably two of the best games. I don't think it's an essential function for Halo, but I can see where people have an appeal for it, and I can see where it would fit in Halo 5. It wouldn't bother me if it was or was not in there. I think they have to kind of look at the control schemes too, because one of the things I know some people discussed around that idea of dual wielding was the fact that you have different abilities with different people choosing different controller schemes. So you have an advantage and a disadvantage based on what controller scheme you use. So if you were able to kind of figure out a better control scheme that would benefit both sides, then maybe, well, not I'd say both sides, there's more than two controller schemes, but if you can find a way to balance that out and have all the different functions available to everyone no matter what the control scheme is, I think it would be a lot better. I just don't know if that's even a solution to look at, though.
You take away all the schemes except for Bumper Jumper, and you just make everybody use Bumper Jumper from here on out. Forever. I always use Recon. It's kind of the classic.
Let's see. For Halo 4, I have Default. For Halo 3 and Halo Reach, I use Boxer. Just because I like to punch people.
Yeah. That's always fun.
I gotta get that melee in there. But dual wielding for Halo 5, I think it would be a good thing. It depends on what other kind of game elements are in there. I think Sprint would kind of affect how that would play. The maps definitely have an effect on where you would place weapons and what weapons you would place on there from a dual wielding perspective. It would give us the chance to bring back some of the kind of classic weapons too, like the SMG is not in there. Would we want any of the brute weapons back? I know we've kind of transitioned from brute weapons to...
I like the shot. I hate the concussion rifle. Or the concussion...
You know, yeah, the concussion rifle.
Yeah, concussion rifle. I hate that thing. I don't like it. I mean, other than pushing people off the edge occasionally and having them get killed by falling off, like, the brute shot is so much more satisfying. You know, you put three shots in them and just melee them in the face.
Yeah. Great. I personally love... I loved the grenade launcher in Halo Reach, and I love the railgun in Halo 4.
Yeah, I love the railgun, but I miss the spike grenade.
Yeah, and it was funny, just as you said that, Pins put that in the chat.
Put it in the chat.
Yeah. And I've seen a couple threads around some other forums as well, where people want to see everything that has been in every Halo game just available in Halo 5. The only thing I have an issue with that a little bit is... You're not making an all-inclusive game with Halo 5. You're making a unique experience. So it's going to have its own set of weapons to kind of go with the style of the multiplayer that they want to portray. And same thing with the campaign, too. They want to tailor those weapons for the campaign. So while I do see kind of an appeal to have every single weapon that's ever been made in a Halo game, I think... It's not practical from a development perspective because you don't want to overwhelm people with choices. You kind of want to keep the weapon set low so people can get a grasp for what the weapons are and how they respond. And it offers, I think, the lower weapon or the fewer weapons that you have, the more competitive and the more fun a multiplayer game can be.
Yeah, I mean, there's beauty and simplicity, kind of. Also, it just seems like they make better maps when they have less weapons to deal with.
Yeah, and you're always going to have kind of the classic weapon set that has been in Halo. So you have your assault weapon, you have your precision weapon, you have your sniper, you have your launcher of some kind, you have your shotgun, and then you have your grenades. That's kind of the classes of weapons that have traditionally been in the game, and it's one of those things where I don't think you want to overload those classes too much. I think you want to have, at least with Halo, how it's been in the past, is you have one kind of every set. So you have a set for UNSC or human weapons. You have a set for plasma weapons. And then for Halo 3, you had a set of brute weapons. And then for Halo 4, you had a set of Promethean weapons.
I dislike the Promethean weapons. I really like the brute weapons when they came out. Like, most of those were really cool. Like, the spikers, like, even those were nice. I enjoyed using spikers.
The spiker was cool. The Mahler was cool.
Chop, man, that was cool as shit. You're going to have to edit that out in post, but I couldn't say it any other way. I mean, that's what it was. Like, ripping the hog in the brute chopper, it felt so good.
Well, and then you just run people over with the wheels. That was fun, too. And I think that's just kind of one of the things that, for past Halos, it's one of the reasons why it's so fun. It's because of the simplicity. You don't have all the weapons to go through. You don't have everything to worry about. And it boils down to a more fun, more competitive experience because I think it focuses more on the gameplay aspects and the skill and how you actually play the game instead of worrying about what weapons you're going to use.
I mean, that's the point, too, is Halo, it's not about the weapon, it's about the Spartan.
Elaborate on that.
Well, think about it. Like, Spartans are the ultimate weapon in the UNSC. They have all these ultimate, like, really huge nukes and, you know, complete, you know, millions and millions of soldiers and stuff. But Spartans, as just by themselves, are the ultimate weapon. I mean, they need guns to be at max capacity, but they don't have to have guns to go around, you know, kicking butt.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at all the instances that
we take that weapon and then start kicking even more butt with it, but I'm saying in the Halo mythos, in the canon, I'm not even saying in multiplayer because in you know the actual multiplayer games, if you have a sniper rifle and I'm across the map and you have a bullet or a BR, like I'm gonna win every single time. But just in the mythos, it's not about the weapon; it's about the Spartan holding the weapon. It's about the skill of the Spartan. It's not about the
engineering. Okay, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah, that makes sense to me. It is about the player. It is about how you approach the game, how you play through the game, your map movement, what weapons you decide to pick up for what circumstance. That's where, yeah, I agree with you there. The weapons are still important because you need you need those classes to fit those situations. But I'm definitely there with you when it comes to it's the way you play the game, not the means by which you play it, that is important. And I think that's where a lot of the fun and the competitiveness comes from for Halo.
That's what it feels like to me in Call of Duty a little bit. No, I mean, I haven't played since Modern Warfare 2, so I can't speak to, you know, actual Call of Duty as it is today, so I'm not going to rip on it. But back when I was playing Modern Warfare, it always felt like it was just about the weapon. Like, the skill was kind of ancillary to whatever weapon you were holding at the time. And I mean, skill was necessary in some of the more competitive game types, and I was, you know, if you've got an M16, you're good with it, that you start with it, and you can get a bunch of kills, but generally, like, it was more about what kind of weapon did you have in that encounter that mattered, not really the skill.
Yep, and that's one of the things a lot of the competitive people are really willing to focus on, is have it more based off of skill and not a lot of this random stuff that's in there. And dual wielding might be a part of that. Who knows? It might be something that the competitive community...
like, highly competitive stuff. Generally, in the competitive Halo 2, where dual wielding originated, it was BRs. BRs all day, every day.
Well, you had the noob combos as well, where you have SMG with plasma rifle, or you had Magnum with
plasma pistol. Anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Basically. I mean, that was the noob combo. I mean, the traditional noob combo, though, was you'd have your plasma pistol, and you'd pull it out, charge it up, shoot, then switch directly to your BR, which has a good range on it, and get the headshot. That's your kill. I suppose it'd be even faster, though, with, I mean, dual wielding, now that I'm thinking about it, because there's no switching weapon time.
Right. And one of the things I think we'll see with the competitive community is we'll see what that drive is. We'll see where people want to focus on some of the Halo 2 and Halo 3 elements. And I'm pretty sure it'll be a topic that we'll discuss whenever we do our competitive podcast for Halo 5 discussion, which will be after E3 most likely. And there's a lot of different discussions that you can have on weapons, maps, vehicles, and all that stuff.
I want a Splazer Hog.
Hmm.
But with a bigger Splazer. Like a larger laser blast, kind of.
You mean larger as in... just more encompassing?
Yeah.
Like a wider diameter or longer pulse or quicker recharge or what?
The longer pulse and wider radius. Not significantly longer or wider, but just enough to, you know, differentiate between this had to be attached to a vehicle because it is so heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be an interesting idea, actually. I wonder if they've toyed around with that idea at all at the studio. That'd be kind of funny if they did. So, dual wielding, though, I think we've kind of exhausted that topic a little bit. Godzilla in the had a reply. He said, I would love to see dual wielding, but no bolt shot. And you have a couple of replies in there. You said, now think about it, dual plasma pistols would be incredibly useful on heavies, which would... you're plasma bolting like two different vehicles at once. That would be ridiculous.
But dual plasma, I mean, it would work in heavies. Think about it. If you had two plasma pistols, one in each hand, I mean, you can't even carry two plasma pistols in any game type. I mean, if you That's something weird. Think about that. Like, what if in the next game you could carry two of the same weapon? Like, when I'm Halo... almost out of VR ammo. I don't want to... Did they do that in Halo 1? Could you have two of the same? No, I mean two of the exact same weapon. Like, I've got one loaded BR on my back, and then I've got the one that I'm shooting now. Like, I'm almost out of bullets, or I get out of bullets, and instead of having to reload, you just switch over to the next BR.
Yeah, the only thing you could do with that would be, like, in Halo 2 and Halo 3, where there's that thing where you can have one weapon on your back, and then you could pick up another weapon, and then you could dual wield the same weapon that's on your back, and then you could swap out the one that wasn't the same and dual wield that. So you could basically have three spikers, three plasma pistols, three plasma rifles, three needlers, that kind of thing. Actually, I take that back. Needlers were only dual wieldable in Halo 2 there. I don't think they were dual wieldable in Halo 3. So, but yeah, you could end up with three of the same weapon.
You remember weapon juggling with power weapons?
Yes.
Halo 2? Halo 3?
Yeah. Yeah.
You grab like a rocket and a sniper, just keep switching out between them?
Yeah, because you want,
well, you want
to have both of them, but you want, yeah, exactly.
That's a legitimate strategy.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like flag juggling, which they took out in Halo 4, yeah, which a lot of people were mad at.
Or choose to pick it up on your own volition.
Yeah.
Player choice is just awful. I mean, it's just like the lamest thing ever. I mean, in terms of canon and in terms of gameplay. Like, the idea that a Spartan can't run over a flag without picking it up, even like in the weird war game scenario that they put him in.
Yeah, that's kind of an afterthought.
They should be able, if I'm next to a flag, I can choose to put my hand around the flag or not. That's a pretty simple thing.
Well, I think a lot of it was kind of response to how people block the flags. So when you could put a warthog over the plate, or you put something that you would have to move it to get through the flag.
Seems like there's a less clunky way to fix that that doesn't kind of...
I'm sure there is.
Take that fun out of being able to grab the flag when I want to.
I think that
and
could
also
be something...
I mean, the flag throws were important, too. And in my opinion, that's legitimate gameplay as well. Flag throwing.
Yeah.
If I'm up on a platform, and you can throw the flag to me, that was a legitimate teamwork strategy. And you can't do that now. Not in Halo 4.
Right. Now, I'm pretty sure they'll bring that back for Halo 5. If they don't, a lot of people are going to be very upset. Well, there's a lot of things that they need to bring back for Halo 5, or a lot of people are going to be upset. So... that will be our topic of the week, is dual wielding. We'll have another one next week that we'll discuss. And head on over to the forums if you haven't already. They're free to sign up. We do have something where you need to post a few times before you can post for free. Well, let me rephrase that. Well, we approve like the first three posts that you post just to make sure that you're not a spam bot, because we did have on our old forums where spam bots would get in past the bot checker on registration and start posting stuff. So basically, people going in, registering the account, and then having the bot backfill that position. So, we are approving the first three posts for people, and then after you get that three post count, then you won't have to be approved anymore, and you can post all you want. Go over there, introduce yourself, post in some of the threads that we currently have there, check out, just check everything out, and we hope to see you over there. One thing I did forget to mention that's actually in the image that we're streaming right now, that I for some reason or another, just kind of blanked on in the news section, is Halo Charts is back, at least in some aspect. Firestream, who created the original Halo Charts, has decided to bring it back once again. I think this is version 3 of Halo Charts, if I'm not mistaken. It's invite-only right now. It's nothing where you can go and sign up, just because of how much time and effort he has to put into maintaining the site.
Cool kids,
but it is invite only. You can get invites for it. I have a few invites to send out, so I may throw a contest up somewhere, or may just kind of hand out the invites as I see fit. But definitely check it out if you have the ability to do so. There's been a lot of people signing up over there. He said he's gotten great responses and people wanting to get in on the site, so it's been very popular so far. It will go and pull your Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4 stats. It will actually go into the Bungie stats and pull all the stuff that you had from previous games before they stopped tracking those. So if you continue to play Halo 3 or Halo Reach, those stats won't be tracked. It's just everything from Bungie's side, I think, up until they stopped recording stats. Although I'm not too sure on the Reach.
You can't write it, basically.
Well,
the past is there to haunt you. You have no future.
So if you do have the chance to go check it out, definitely do so. You can get some pretty awesome SIGs for it as well. That will cover your Spartan emblem, all your stats, CSR if you do the Halo 4 stuff, and some other info from the other games if you decide to look at those as well. So check it out if you get an invite. Again, I will be handing out some of those invites for some people. And yeah, pretty cool stuff. I think there are some free things on there that if you go to the site, you can kind of check out a little bit. But if you want to get the full kind of premium stuff, then you have to be invited to use the rest of the site features. Needless to say, I'm happy that he's brought this back. It's kind of one of those things where if he's in the mindset of wanting to do something Halo, this is up there. And I'm hoping this time it stays up there. He's had a lot more stats breakdown in the past, but this is a little more simpler, just kind of pulling in some of the common stats that you see from, at least for Halo 4, from Waypoint, and then the Bungie stats that you can just pull from the site as you can do a screen scrape.
When I read Halo charts, I learned that Halo 4 was the first game that I didn't have a 1.0 kill-death ratio. I have a negative kill-death ratio in Halo 4.
Really?
And I don't know why.
Too many custom games. Decently.
Yeah. does that figure into that? I think there's like two different numbers, right? There's like social and then ranked.
Right. I don't know how that's differentiated for his stats.
Well, regardless, I've always had a positive one, and now I'm ruined.
I want to say that's probably going to be a combination of both social, so the custom games, and matchmaking. But I can ask him and check to see how exactly that breaks down.
I just figured it out, maybe. Action sack.
Oh, do you not do well in action sack?
Well, no. Like, I'll play objective games in action sack where I want to be Rambo, and I'm actually, you know, pushing up against the objective, like in meta raid or whatever. Stuff like that.
You're like me. You're like me who wants to do the objective.
Yeah, exactly. I play to win. I bet if I look at my win-loss ratio in Halo 4, I've got a pretty decent thing going on there.
That makes sense.
But Halo charts is cool. Knowing your Halo stats in general is a cool thing.
Yeah, all the competitive kids do it, so you should be doing it.
Cool kids only, man. Members only.
Yeah. So, I do want to read one submission that we have. We have a couple other ones, but they're more kind of things I need to digest and read up on, research a little bit before kind of introducing to the show. But we do have one that's more of a general submission that we can read out on here. This one is from Sam, and he says, you don't have to use this in the I'll skip that. So, a while back, things were fairly bad for me. I wasn't in a very healthy state of mind. This was about a year after Halo 3 had shipped. Every night, I made a routine of choosing a Halo soundtrack to listen to as I went to sleep. I got to the point where I would get through my entire day just so I could get the reward of listening to another Halo soundtrack at the end of the day. Marty's music saved me from what was becoming a serious mental health issue. For that, I'm ever grateful, and for everything that he has done composing his music, and it's exceptionally sad to see him leave Bungie in this way. So this was obviously kind of a little bit older from our Marty discussion, but still kind of important. And he poses a question for you guys. In what way has the work that Marty has done resonated with you, and what have you guys taken away from it?
Locked go ahead. My thread in the Marty Army forum on Bungie.net. So that's the legacy he has left. No, I'm joking. Actually, I think I've already told this story, just like I've told every single story I've ever had about Halo on this podcast 20 times before, but I never forget was my senior song. We had to like choose one, and I was like, "Yep, that's the one. That's the cool song," and everybody loved it. People never even heard, you know, Halo or knew anything about Halo or had heard any sort of Halo music thought that was a really, really good song. So, I mean, that kind of speaks for its own kind of...
Yeah.
It's not like Marty is extremely accessible, but he is. I mean, sci-fi music isn't for everybody, but Marty made it that way, I guess.
Well, he brought a very unique style to kind of the Gregorian chant, the orchestra, and we said this on the Marty podcast that we did, but he has a very good style of bringing out certain emotions in his music and setting the stage with the music that complements what you're doing in the game. And that's something that's, I don't think any other composer has really nailed.
No. In my opinion, there have been other games like Call of Duty games and other games I can't really remember off the top of my head that have brought on major like Hollywood kind of music writers for major orchestras and stuff on. Like, wasn't his name Neil Davidge that did Modern Warfare 2 and maybe 3, I'm not sure, but like people from Hollywood that work on major motion picture, like major theatrical releases of huge movies that, you know, see play all around the world, you know, bring them onto video games. And some of that stuff doesn't sound as, you know, half as good as the Marty O'Donnell stuff. And he doesn't work on movies.
Right. He has a very good way of pulling out emotion to a particular setting or mood that wants to be portrayed. A lot of movie soundtracks, which, in my opinion, is what Call of Duty pulls from and what Titanfall pulls from, they are more traditionally a soundtrack style from a movie. And I kind of feel that way for the Halo 4 soundtrack as well, Neil Davidge's style. And Marty's just is not that way. It's set apart where it's very emotional. I mean, some of the music from the Halo 3 soundtrack are some of my favorite things to listen to. I can pop on the ODST soundtrack and go to sleep to it because it's that soothing. The jazz is just awesome to me.
Well, I have to correct one of my errors. Roboat in the Twitch chat says that Modern Warfare 2 was composed by Hans Zimmer, which is true. I was just remembering Neil Davidge because he made Halo 4's soundtrack, and that was completely uninteresting.
But I think it still kind of goes to say that Marty O'Donnell's music is very unique. And it's something that I don't think we'll see from another composer in a while, really. He's very talented, and there's a reason why he's won a lot of awards for game soundtracks, because Halo has a very unique sound, and he developed music in such a way, and it's been implemented in the game in such a way where it invokes emotion. It pulls you into game. It ties you into the experience that they want you to feel. And it's not easy to do that with music. Music is very good at basically setting the stage for something that is coming. But Marty's music doesn't exactly set the stage. It supplements the stage. The stage is set by the game, and the music helps enrich that experience. And that's where the uniqueness of Marty's ability to compose music really shines.
Put on Never Forget right now. Just do it.
Exactly.
Put on
that or Siege of Madrigal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Those two right there are some of the best pieces of music, arguably, from Marty. Other than, I mean, for me, the Halo theme, which is
some of the best music in video games, period.
Yeah, and there's a reason why if you play some of the Halo music, like the Halo theme and Never Forget, people that don't even play Halo know what you're playing. They know it's Halo because it's that iconic of music. It's set alone from a lot of different styles of music just that much. Halo Collector said John Williams could top Marty. I'm not too sure about that, to be honest.
But what about Justin Bieber?
Why? Why bring that up? Just no. No. Wow. Choking up over here. No. Nope, no Bieber.
Beyonce Knowles could probably make a decent video game soundtrack. No joke.
All the single Spartans? No. No, thank you.
All the single Spartans! All the single Spartans! All the single Spartans! All the single Spartans! Never chance up!
And Godzilla just said no, Brent. I think that's the Justin Bieber one, but... Oh, boy. I think that's what we have to take away from it for Marty's music. A couple of wrap-up things, I think, because we don't have much else to talk about, really. This is Halo PC related, so not quite as important to some people, but for the PC crowd that's still out there, remember that we do get the patch, or we already have the patch for Halo CE, so that we can keep on playing the PC version, which is awesome. But someone has made a mod for having medals in the Halo PC version. It's a pretty cool little mod that they have there. You can check out a YouTube video. I'll have that linked in the show description. I don't see much info on how to actually get the mod. There is a website for it. I'm assuming all the stuff is there. This was posted on the HBO forums. It's all here. So you can go and download this custom UI and have all the medals in there. It's pretty cool. It's very well done. It's very well integrated into the game. And you can actually choose between the Halo 3, the Halo Reach, or the Halo 4 medals and the announcer voices, too. So check it out. It's a pretty cool mod, I think. I'll definitely have to play some Halo PC with it. And, Britton, you have Halo PC too, right?
Yes. Halo PC is mine to play.
Yay, so we can play together.
Halo will be remembered forever.
Halo 1.
Like, 200 years from now, when they're studying game theory, like video game theory, not game theory like it is nowadays, that they Halo 1 be like, this is a much better video game and more competitive than things we have nowadays on our holodeck.
Well, that's the big thing that the modding community can really attach on to, because there's not much support for Halo 2 Vista, and I actually sent an email to Bravo last week asking what the actual effects were going to be of Games for Windows Live shutting down. I haven't gotten a response back from him yet, so hopefully we'll have an answer to that, and if not, I'll just bug him again at some point about it. I think that pretty much wraps it up for the week. It's a short podcast for this week. Sorry, guys, not much in the news. We're going to get a lot of stuff, obviously, coming E3, which is in a little over a week as of this recording. And we'll try to cover as much as we can. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming out of the Xbox press conference, I think, with regards to probably Halo 2 Anniversary. I bet that's going to be coming out. The Halo Digital feature and the TV show, I bet we'll get some more information on that. And who knows what else Halo things that will be coming out. But we'll kind of speculate on some of the stuff, I think, next week as the podcast before E3. We'll kind of speculate on some of the Halo stuff. And we'll try to get some guests on to talk about what we've seen in the past traditionally with Halo and what we could see based on some of the rumors, even though I don't exactly like to highlight rumors too much. Doing it on the podcast, just kind of acknowledging it, I'm okay with, but kind of going in full discussion mode on it is something I try to stay away from, but a lot of people are talking about it, so it's kind of hard to avoid it. So we're going to kind of take up the stance of maybe talking about a few things here on the show. If you don't want that, I suggest not listening to next week's show, but if you don't mind, and if you're kind of curious and inquisitive and have to stay up with the news, then that's something you might want to check out for next week. Oh, that sucks. So, Halo Collector posted in the chat. He said he's on jury duty on the 9th. I'm sorry, dude. That really, really sucks.
Do you have a child? Do you have anything that you could possibly...
Can you not postpone it?
...and tell them... No, I'm saying that the best way, if you don't have anything to do, is like if you call up your county registrar or whatever, you know, whoever deals with jury duty that day, and then tell them that you can't make it that day, and that they need to find another juror.
So you can usually postpone those. Like, you can, if it's the first notice, you can usually say, I can't do that day, and they'll give you a second day to come.
Yeah.
You can do that.
I mean, you obviously can't dodge jury duty forever.
Right,
and,
but
you... And you shouldn't. It's an important part of our system of laws, but on that day, they shouldn't make you go. Because it's important. It's more important than whoever's on trial that day.
Yeah. Hopefully you can
Do you remember when Halo...
Not to say it's not important,
Halo,
but...
Halo 4 came out on Election Day, 2012.
Yeah, that's, it did. Well, and they had the propaganda posters, and I actually have one of those. What does it say?
Like Obama-style posters, and it says, like, Believe or something. It's got, like, Chief on it.
Oh, it was Rock the Vote.
Okay. Rock the Vote.
It's down. It's downstairs. I forget exactly what it said. I think it was Rock the Vote.
Can you imagine the Master Chief saying Rock the Vote? That just doesn't seem like something he would say.
It was something.
I know it was Rock the Vote or whatever.
I'm googling it right now. Because I don't exactly remember. Make your voice heard vote.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Rock the Vote was MTV.
Rock the Vote was a lot of places. That was kind of the main
push. Yeah, but MTV had the trademark.
Oh, really?
Yep. MTV Viacom. I didn't know that. Pretty sure they were the Rock the Vote people. I mean, you could obviously say Rock the Vote wherever you want. They ain't going to, you know, pursue copyright law over that. But I'm pretty sure Viacom and MTV had the rights to Rock the Vote as a trademark slogan.
Okay, then. Cool.
Fun facts of political marketing.
There you go. Learn something new every day here on Podtacular. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you guys back next week. Remember to visit our website, podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out our social pages. We have Twitter, twitter.com/podtacular, Facebook, facebook.com/podtacular. And we're on Twitch, where we stream every Thursday for our podcast. And that's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Check it out. Lots of cool stuff that goes on. Lots of little side discussions that kind of help filter into the podcast as well. Give a little bit of character to the show, I think. Make sure you check us out on our forums as well. I've been touting it this whole show. But if you haven't, please go register. We want to have some people there to have some big discussions and to start talking about things for Halo 5, for Halo 2 Anniversary if that gets announced, and all the big topics for Halo. We're really looking to develop that community once again, because Podtacular was built off of the community, so we want to foster that growth again and really pay attention to what you guys have to say and introduce that back into the show. That's been something that has been absent for a while, I think, kind of that community emphasis, and I think a forum is a good way to get that back in there. So definitely go check it out. Please go register. Have your friends go register, because we do have some good topics on there, and I do have more topics lined up for when we have more people sign up on there. If it gets to the point where we don't have much, I'm probably going to post them anyway, just from a time perspective, but we want to see people sign up and participate in discussions. So please do that.
Yes.
Also, right now, there's actually a deal on Amazon for the Game of the Year edition for Halo 4 is $30. So if you don't have that, if you don't have maybe the map packs for a change, if you don't have any of the three regular map packs that was part of the War Games Pass, and if you don't have the championship bundle, then this might be something you want to pick up. You can do so actually using our link, our Amazon Association link. That's on our homepage. You can go click the link right now. It's just a link for Halo 2 Vista, and we will have a game night for that next month, right after E3. As Games for Windows Live shuts down on July 1st, which is sad, but go on over to the homepage, click on that link. You can actually buy anything off of Amazon, and we get a small cut of that to help support the site and the stuff that we're doing here. Please check it out. Please go. If you do any Amazon shopping, check out the link. You can fill your cart, click the link, and then go buy stuff as well. That works just as easily. If you don't want to do that, if you just want to kind of donate in the traditional sense of sending us money, you can do so. There's a PayPal widget on our homepage. Click that. Send us some money. Help out the site. It would be very much appreciated, no matter what way you decide to help out. Or if you don't have the money, if you don't have the means to, just submit to us. You can send us any ideas that you have, anything that you want us to talk about, any stories that you have from Halo, or any comments on any of the topics that we discuss here on the show. And it's pretty easy to do. Either you can go to the homepage, click on the big submit button, fill out the form, and send it to us. Or you can send us an email straight to submissions@podtacular.com. Or you can call our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO and leave a message that's about 90 seconds long. With that said, we are going to say goodnight. thank you for tuning in for those that were here live on Twitch, and thank you for downloading the show who download us. Be sure to check us out in next week. We'll be talking again about all the stuff that we're going to expect for E3. It's going to be an exciting E3 for Halo. It's a good time to be a Halo fan, I think. I'm excited to see what comes out of E3. I know Brent's excited to see what comes out of E3, and I know there's several of you that are hyped about what the potential of Halo 5 has to offer and some of the other stuff that will be coming down the pipeline with Halo later this year. So stay tuned to Podtacular. We'll give you the latest updates on Halo as we get more information about it, and we'll definitely be posting a lot of stuff E3. We're going to be doing lots of shows, I'm sure, based on what comes out each day. And if there's stuff that gets shown off at the Xbox press conference, which I'm pretty sure there is based off of, I mean, unfortunately, all the leaks that have been coming out on what's being shown at the press conference, we'll be talking about that. We'll be posting tweets and Facebook posts and all that stuff. So stay tuned, and we'll try to keep you updated as much as we can. Until next week, everybody, keep on fragging Minecraft.
Yeah, Minecraft should be fragged this week, since Halo finally arrived.